Robbie and the Sipes family from over in North Carolina. I've known Robbie since he was just a kid. I guess you were a teenager, weren't you? Yeah. And when we first met, and our kids kind of grew up together. And I think Kim's kids have been over here for almost, well, I guess every Bible school we've had. They've come over for the week, and we have Bible school every year in July. And we love Robbie and Kim and the kids, and Brian and June as well. And Robbie started preaching several years ago. He's one of those rare talents. He can sing and preach, and so hopefully you'll sing for us tomorrow. You will sing for us tomorrow. And I love to hear him sing, but I also love to hear him preach. He has a Bible study over in Asheville, North Carolina. And some of those folks had wanted to be here, but they were not able to make it. They were here back in September, but for the wedding, but they weren't able to make it back over. But he goes over there every Wednesday night, isn't it, Robbie? And has a Bible study in Asheville. And so you pray for him and his ministry. And then, of course, he helps Brian there in North Carolina. So glad to have him here this morning. Looking forward to your message.
Wow, it's good to see this big number. We have a Bible class there in Asheville. Brother Allen was talking about, 12, 15. That's a good number for us too on Wednesday nights. But if you know anybody in that area, in Asheville, Hendersonville area, in that part of North Carolina, we'd be glad to have them come and meet with us. We meet in the home of Dave and Sherry Nesbitt's house. Have a good core group there, very faithful to the Word, and we appreciate them. And also, I was going to make a little plug for our church, Charity Bible Church. We live, and my dad can explain where our church is better than I can, but he probably will tonight. But they're still pumping in sunshine to where we live, so. We don't have internet, so we don't do live broadcasts like a lot of do. But we are videoing all of the messages there at Charity, usually within a few days, give or take technology, we get those put up on YouTube, and we have a YouTube channel, Charity Bible Church YouTube channel. And we also link that to our website, which is charitybible.org. And we also have a Facebook page. If you like our Facebook page, Charity Bible Church, then when we do upload those messages to YouTube, it'll post it, and you'll see when they're there, and you can actually click on that link and go to it. So just a little plug there for that. We're trying that. We haven't been doing that very long, and we also have our messages on audio on the website. So, anyway, that's my plug. If you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to thank the church for all the work you have done and all that will go on. I know how much work it is to put in a Bible conference, and it's always a great time here, but there's a lot of hard work that goes behind all of the good things that go on here at the Bible conference, and I appreciate Steve and the church for all their work. I want to look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, First, let's just start in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who, that being God our Savior, will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And I want to look at today, I want to look at the verse 4 there primarily, and the will of God. Brother Jerry last night did a great job talking about that and his will, and we're in his will. We have an inheritance, but God has a will. And a lot of times you hear TV preachers today and they're talking about what God's will for people is that they're happy, or that they have money, or that they, you know, they all of this. God has very specific will for all men today. And first, that number one priority is not whether or not they like their job. And it's not whether or not they are overweight or underweight, or whether or not they have a victorious life. His number one priority, his number one will, is that all men be saved. All men, because all men need to be saved. It's not some men, it's all men. I had a discussion one time with a Calvinist, and he was talking, of course, that, you know, God has, there are those that God wants saved. He convicts them, and they can't resist that calling, and they just have to be saved. And so God has saved some and makes them be saved, and then there's others that he doesn't even deal with, and they don't have a chance. And so I showed him this verse. I said, God will have all men to be saved. All men. Well, that doesn't mean all men. It's just all the men he wants saved is who he wants saved. You know, you twist it. He wants all men to be saved, all mankind, and all mankind needs to be saved. Brother Allen's message this morning hit it right on it. There is none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We all need a Savior. There's nobody in this building today who God does not want you to be saved. He wants it. He wills it. And you know, the great thing about God is when God's will, when He has His, whatever His will is, He puts it in place and makes it so that it can be accomplished. I have a will. I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano. I love to hear piano, and they're so good at it that they can just sit down and it makes it look so easy. You know, it's like anybody could just sit down there and just start playing away. And then when you sit down and you start, it just doesn't happen. It's kind of like golf is that way too. You know, you watch the PGA and you watch Phil Mickelson. He's my favorite because he's a lefty and I'm a lefty. But you go out there, it looks so easy. It's like, oh, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars and it looks so easy. Well, it's not easy. And playing the piano is not easy. I've always wanted to do that. But guess what? I had never done anything about it. You know, I've never taken lessons. I know one song, and I can play that one song, and that's it. And it's like three chords. But what about this? Look, notice this. God will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And then you start in verse 5, and you see the mechanism is put in place for His will to be accomplished. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. He wants all men to be saved. So what does He do? The man, Christ Jesus, becomes a ransom for all. He provides the means by which all men can be saved. And that is that Jesus Christ came into the world and took upon Himself the form of man, and took upon Him the form of sinful flesh. and that he was a man. But he was born of a virgin. He had no sin whatsoever. And he lived on this planet for 33 years a sinless life. The Bible says that he was tempted at all points as we are, but without sin. And that then on the cross became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We're made that. And it's because God's will is that all men be saved. And then he, not only that, notice on, not only did he provide that, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, and it was testified in due time with the Apostle Paul. Because Paul then says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles. Not only did God provide the mediator, provided that man Christ Jesus who went to the cross and became a ransom for all, but now he is providing a teacher, a preacher, an apostle, the Apostle Paul, to give us that message today through the Word of God. And now we, as ambassadors for Christ, have this message to go out into the world to tell people that God is not imputing trespasses unto them today, that all sins, all their sins have been forgiven, and that all that it takes is a simple belief and faith in what Christ did on the cross. It's a simple thing. God has taken care of it. It's already been done. There's nothing that you have to do today in order for you to be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's simple. It's easy. But man wants to make it hard. Man wants to make it harder than it is and take that simplicity away by adding baptism, confession, praying through, whatever you want to call it, instead of just the simple fact that you just trust in what Christ has already accomplished. That's His will. His will, He's not interested in, you know, what kind of car you drive. You know, that's not it. He wants people to be saved. He would have all men to be saved. And He has provided the power for that to happen. You understand, and I'm not going to go back over and read it. Brother Allen read it just a little bit ago to you, but in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. If you're trying to get somebody saved, if you're by your own acts, by your own effort to get someone saved, you're missing where the power is. The power is the gospel. That's where the power of God unto salvation is today. All we can do is plant and water. God gives that increase. You know, God does that. All we can do is give that message out. God's will today is for all men to be saved, and the power of that comes. That power, notice what Paul says about that. Look over in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice the comparison he makes with the gospel and light. And notice the comparison that he makes with his salvation and God creating the heaven and the earth in Genesis chapter 1. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Power, light. In Genesis chapter 1, what do you have? You have the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, do you realize that that's the state in which you were born? You were born void. You were born within darkness. You were born with being without form, no shape, not usable, uninhabitable, nothing that could be done with that until God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then it began to work. And then the earth began to form into shape. And then things began to be able to be grown on the earth. And it became a fruitful place. And then at the very end, God said that it was good. Well, you see, that's what the gospel does to someone who's lost. The gospel is preached unto somebody. It's shared with somebody. And they see that they need a Savior. They see theirself as being without form and void and in darkness. And in that shape, believe in the gospel and the light. God said, "Let there be light," and light is shed. And that light is power. And that light brings about fruitfulness. It brings about usefulness. It brings about growth. And you are saved that moment and time that you believe that gospel. The very moment you believe it, you're saved. It's not a process. It's not something you come unto. It is a moment in time when you hear that gospel preached and you believe it for yourself, taking it and believing it for you. And the moment you do that, you're saved. There's light. There is a new creature in Christ. The new man. And that's what God wants. That's His will. And it's powerful. Notice in Colossians. Look in over in Colossians chapter 1. I remember that moment in my life. I remember it was a Sunday morning. I remember the date. Now, you know why I remember the date? Because I wrote it down. If I hadn't wrote it down, I wouldn't remember. It was January the 6th, 1991. I remember it. It was an event. It was a place in time. What do you remember about your salvation? Can you go back to a time? Can you remember an event in your life? You husbands in here, you remember the event in your life when you said "I do" to your wife? You better hope you remember it. And you better remember the date, so you better write it down. But that's the same thing with salvation. It's something that happens. It's real. It's not a concept. It's an event that takes place. It's something happens. Notice in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. And you ever do an interesting study, just a little sidebar here. The word "made," all the things that God has made concerning us. He made us meet to be partakers. When we trust Christ, we're made the righteousness of God. It's something that God does. You see, it's not anything that we do. God made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. delivered us from the power of darkness, from being without form and void and darkness, to the kingdom of His dear Son, that and the inheritance of light, the saints in light. The difference between darkness and light. That's the difference between being lost and being saved. If I remember one time we was either coming here or going home. We stopped in the Lost Sea in Sweetwater, Tennessee. And we were in there and we were down in the tavern there. And it's an underground lake there. It's cool. And at one point, they turned the lights out. I mean, in this absolute darkness. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of your face. It's absolute darkness. Can't see anything. And then they turned the lights back on, and you could see. That's the difference between being lost and saved. It's you are, or you are lost, or you are saved. And there's not any middle ground there. It's not a progression. It's a time. It's a place. It's God's power. Knowing you're in the dark and going into light, you know when that happens. Darkness to light. There's power there. God's will. Go back to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Notice again in God's will in chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't just stop at he will have all men to be saved, does it? What's after that? To come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, some people have it backward and they've got it mixed up. And they think you've got to come to some kind of knowledge of the truth before you can be saved. But that's not the order that it's written. That's not how it's written down here, is it? God will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And notice the difference here. What we talked about salvation, it's something God provided for us. It's something that is done for us, and there's no work involved, and it's just a moment in time when we place our trust in what Jesus Christ did. Boom, we're saved. That's it. But notice coming unto the knowledge of the truth and coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's a little different, isn't it? The word come there has to do with a process. It's something that we do. I didn't come to salvation. I didn't come to be saved. I was saved. It just happened. But notice coming unto the knowledge of the truth is a process. It is a process. We don't just automatically, the moment we're saved, God opens up our head and pours in everything. You know, it doesn't happen. It's a process. It's something we come to, the knowledge of the truth. Well, what is truth? Well, let's look at it. Look over in John chapter 17. John 17. Just quickly, in verse 17, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when we talk about coming unto the knowledge of the truth, what are we talking about here? Right here. This is truth. You know what God wants for you if you're saved? He's not so much interested in what job you have. As far as how you make your living. He's not so much interested in what car you drive. He wants you to get some knowledge. He wants you to grow in knowledge. He wants you to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to know His Word. Amen. Look in Ephesians. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. And this was, I think this has already been read, but it's okay. I think Brother Jan might have read this, but notice verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And the context here is prayer. Paul's prayer for these Ephesians is verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? Knowledge of Him. You come into the spirit of wisdom and revelation happens with knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. He wants us to know some things. He wants us to gain knowledge about things, to come to this knowledge about His power, about what the power is. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. You know, I love to come to these conferences. And I love to hear preaching because I love to hear about the cross. You know, I had one time I preached at a conference one time, and I had preached on the cross, and I had a gentleman come up to me and said, well, that's really a message that should have been preached to lost people because most everybody in here was saved. And I was like, well, there probably were some people in here that was lost that needed to hear it. But how can you not enjoy hearing about what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross? How can you not enjoy listening and hear about what your inheritance is and where you're seated in heavenly places and what God has made for us and prepared for us? He wants us to know those things. He gives us His Spirit. Look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He wants us to know some things, so He provides us the opportunity to learn things that He wants us to know. He gives us the Spirit to teach us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, let's just start there. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. It's not entered into the heart of man, the natural man. But, notice verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might, what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. God has provided us the Spirit to show us, to teach us, that we might know things. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're saved and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to have an excuse for not knowing some things about this Bible. He's given you His Spirit. Notice what it says in verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We are taught. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You've got everything you need to gain knowledge, to come into the knowledge of the truth. No excuses. You've got the Bible. You've got His Word. And it's not... And let me just stop here a second and And it's not this Bible, this King James Bible that I have in my hand. It is the Word of God. And the reason it's the Word of God is it because it contains and has the words of God. There's a lot of people that will say they believe the Word of God, but then they'll change the individual words within the Word of God. The Word of God is made up of words. So all the words are God's words. And those words can teach us, and we can come into the knowledge of the truth. But it's not something that you just get. It's not something that just poured into your head. It takes some effort on your part. You've got to be willing to study. You've got to be willing to spend some time reading God's Word. You've got to be willing to go to hear preaching and teaching of God's Word. And you know, with today's technology, there's no excuse. You know, it used to be if you lived a long ways away, you might have to, you may not have access. But now, you've got, if nothing else, you've got CDs, you know. But even more than that, you can listen to it live. You can download it. You can hear it sitting at home on Thursday nights from Steve in Kentucky, you know. And it's amazing. We don't have any excuse not to come into the knowledge of the truth. God wills that. That's what He wants from you as a saved person. Because you've got a job to do here. You have a vocation. Paul said in Ephesians, look over in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to finish up here. I got about done. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You have a vocation. You know what a vocation? That's a job. You know, in high school, they take vocational classes. What are those classes? Well, that's classes that might teach you how to be an auto mechanic, or it may teach you how to be a nurse. It teaches you a vocation. You here that are saved on planet Earth, this is not where you live, this is where you work. Right? This is where you work. You're at the job. You're at the workplace right now. Your home is in heaven. Your home is with the Lord. We're at work. We're workers together with Him. Well, in order to do that work, you got to have some knowledge. You got to know some things. You got to know it so you can tell somebody else. I taught school. I'm assistant principal now, but I taught school for 12 years. You don't want to stand in front of a bunch of 13-year-olds and tell them and then not know what you're talking about, because they will pick you apart. They're like chickens, you know? They'll peck at you. You got to know. Well, it's the same way in the world. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to have some knowledge, and it's there for you. Look, one more verse. Look over in Proverbs. Look in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. No, chapter 2. I was right. See, you got to know what you're talking about. In Proverbs chapter 2, how do you come into the knowledge of the truth? Well, you've got no excuses. You've got His Word. You've got His Spirit. You've got preachers and teachers. You've got it. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You apply your heart to it. You apply yourself. That means you put effort into it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's found in his word. You seek it out as silver. It becomes a priority in your life. You apply your heart and your mind to his word. And I promise you that God will show you scripture. He will teach you scripture. You will learn. But I also promise you this. If you don't, if you turn it, if you close it, you don't think about it, you don't study it, you'll go backward. You won't stay where you're at. You're either coming unto the knowledge of the truth, or you're going away from the knowledge of the truth. You're never where you are the next day. You study it. You seek it out as silver. And that's what God's will is, because He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be full grown. He wants you to be able to do the work of the ministry. And He has given you everything that you can, you need to have that done. If you're lost, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Thank you.